Good morning. So the title of the message today is, So What Did You Expect? And I might be asking you that question at the end of this. Please, God, make me equal to the task. So before I get into it, I want you to do something real quick. I want you to take a piece of paper, whether it's the announcement sheet or a scrap of paper and a pen. It's just one word, no big deal. If you don't have one, you can do it in your head. I just want you to take a minute and think about something that you might want to have manifest in your life. Doesn't matter what it is. Could be a thing, could be a situation, could be a relationship, health, prosperity, whatever it is. And write it down in just a couple of words. And then hold on to that, because we'll kind of revisit it at the end of the sermon, for real. So when I was thinking about expectations, there's a couple of ways to look at the whole thing, and so I thought I'd throw out a couple, and you can decide where you are on the topic. I don't know how many of you are familiar with the Four Noble Truths of Buddhism, but the second one tells us that the cause of suffering is desire or craving, thirst. There's a whole bunch of words in there. You can plug in the one you like best. I can see that in a way. You know, the happiest person in the world supposedly wants nothing. But then Charles and Myrtle Fillmore taught us to pray affirmatively for our heart's desire, not asking for something we want, but rather affirming its presence in our lives. And really, if you think about it, they were just following Jesus' advice. In the Gospel of Mark, Jesus said, Therefore I say unto you, whatever it is you pray for, believe that you have received it, and it is yours. He also advised us to become like children in order to find the kingdom of heaven. Now, what does that mean, become like children, and what does that have to do with expectations? Well, I think to understand that, you only have to watch a three-year-old ask for something they want, right? I know they're asking, there's a question mark at the end of that sentence, but there's absolutely no doubt they 100% expect to get what it is they're asking for. So here's what I think Jesus meant when he said become like children. You know, when we're little, you know, we believe the world is our oyster, and it is. But over a lifetime, we can become disheartened. Sometimes things go the way we want them to go, and sometimes they don't. Sometimes the things that people say or don't say, or the things they do or don't do, send us the message that we're somehow not quite worthy. That maybe our prayers will be answered, maybe they won't. The problem with that is that we tend to shift our expectations down to come into alignment with those negative beliefs that have been planted, right? Anybody done that? Anybody bought into some of those negative things? I think most of you know I'm a Downton Abbey fan. And if I'm going to be honest, it's more like fanatic. But in the very first season, there was one episode that struck me the most. There was a young housemaid who worked in this very large and very grand estate. And she decided to take a correspondence course so she could become a secretary. She didn't want to stay in service all her life. Well, that doesn't sound all that great, right? Except that in 1912, that's pretty darn bold. And Lady Sybil, the Earl's daughter, the youngest of the family, decides to take her under her wing. She's a very modern woman, and so she wants to help this young housemaid. So a couple of opportunities come, and they go, and Gwen starts to get really disappointed. But Lady Sybil can't understand why she's letting herself get disappointed and frustrated and disheartened by the whole thing. So Gwen explains it to her. I wish I had an Irish accent. She said, "M'lady, you are raised to believe that whatever it is you want is within your reach." She said, "We're not like that. We don't believe our dreams are bound to come true because they almost never do." Sad moment. It came out good in the end, in case you're wondering. But I think this young housemaid was expressing what I've experienced myself and what I've seen other people experience throughout their lives. I mean, have you ever found yourself saying, "Oh, that's good enough. That'll do. That's fine." And over time, you even stop asking yourself what it is you want. You don't even know anymore. Doesn't matter what we're talking about. Could be the house we live in, could be the car we drive, could be the amount of money in our checkbook, could be our relationship with our spouse, with our siblings, with our parents, could even be our relationship with God. I came up in a more, probably like a lot of you, I came up in a much more traditional religious teaching. And I can't tell you exactly what words were said, but somewhere along the way, I got the impression that, you know, if you were good, if you stayed on the straight and narrow, that your prayers would be answered. Well, that didn't really fit what I was experiencing watching people around me, because I knew a lot of good people, good, kind, gentle, loving people who didn't have two nickels to rub together. And I've also in my life encountered a lot of people who seem to have it all. I mean, they really seem to have everything. And yet, they didn't really follow the rules in business. They could be a little ruthless, and they were very seldom happy people. So, you know, that whole theory didn't work for me. It's probably a good motivator for a lot of people, but it didn't make sense to me. The difference was, as I thought about it, the difference was that these people who, on at least on outward appearances, had everything, they had high expectations. High expectations. They used their power. Now, I'm not suggesting you take that path that they took, but they did use their power. They did hold on to it. I struggled for a long time in my life over this idea of negative beliefs and where they came from. I did a lot of work thinking about how they got planted, how I bought into it. I read all the books, all the theories on how to change your negative beliefs and turn them into positive. You know, the neurolinguistic programming, the whole bit. The problem was, over a lifetime, I had built up so much evidence to support those negative beliefs that I couldn't shake them. I mean, it becomes like a chicken and egg thing, right? Who comes first? Negative belief gets the negative outcome, gets the negative belief, and before you know it, you're 40 years down the road and still haven't connected with Source. So I think that Jesus really wanted, when he said become like children, I think what he wanted was for us to shake off all of that, erase it, and become like children again. And adopt not only the willingness to believe, but the ability to expect. So here's where unity came in for me. First of all, they taught me to start with denials and then move to affirmations, and that's a huge help. But the main thing is that wonderful principle that says we are all children of God. All. No exceptions. That was amazing to me. And I would encourage you, if it's something that you can take for granted, I congratulate you, but I would encourage you to think about it every day. We are all children of God. Wipes the slate clean. Leaves you free to become like a child again, to believe that everything is possible for you, including that very, very wonderful realization that God is walking with you every day in your life. God doesn't want some of us to have our heart's desire and others to go without. When Jesus was telling us about how to pray, and what we should believe that we are receiving, he didn't say maybe. Neither did he say, as long as you don't ask too much. No. No. It is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom of heaven. But he did also say, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, right? And there's the key to that second noble truth. Great to have the expectations and the anticipation, and I think it's good to desire some things. I really do. I think in some ways, having a desire just means that you're willing to maybe step up, go to the next level. And again, I'm not talking just about things. I'm talking about relationships, your relationship with God, your prayer life, tangible or intangible. The key is not to get attached to that outcome. And that's why I love that song so much. I will surrender to my greatest, highest good. Because no, whatever it is I'm imagining for myself, God is probably going one step further for me. And I am willing to go there. So I would invite you now to take out that slip of paper that you wrote that thing down. And think about the fact that you are a beloved child of God. And see if you can take that, whatever it was you wrote down, and write a new version of it. Maybe bigger, maybe brighter, maybe bolder. Enlarge your vision, enlarge your expectation, and just take a moment now and write it down. And I want you to take that vision with you as we go into a moment of meditation. So close your outer eyes if you're willing, and take a deep breath. Breathe in the breath of God. And release any tension that exists. Feel the muscles in the top of your head start to relax. Feel your face and neck relax as you breathe in and breathe out. Feel your shoulders relax. Feel any remaining tension that might be there flow down your arms and out your fingertips. Breathe in the breath of God deeply and release it. Feel your legs and your feet relax. Sink into the chair that supports you. Now, Imagine yourself looking down a long road, as far as you can see it, to the horizon. There's nothing else around. No greenery, just green meadow and clear blue sky. And down that road away, you can see your heart's desire. Whatever that is, whatever form it took. Now, between you and your heart's desire, there are some roadblocks, some boulders, some barriers standing in the way. And you make a choice. You could choose to stay where you are and let those boulders and barriers stand in your way and your heart's desire will remain where it is. Or you can watch as your heart's desire becomes smaller and smaller and smaller until it fades away out of sight. Or you can choose another way. You can know that God is walking with you. So now, as you look down that road and you see your heart's desire, know that Spirit is walking with you, that with God all things are possible. So you step forward, one step at a time. You move the boulders out of the way, or you walk around them, each one in turn. You move those barriers out of the way until finally you reach your heart's desire. Let yourself be filled with the joy that comes, not just with reaching your heart's desire, but in knowing that God has walked with you down that road. Let yourself be filled with the joy of knowing God's presence is with you each and every day. And rest now in the silence as you feel that joy fill you up. And now, as we prepare to come back to the sanctuary, carry that joy with you. Find a special place to store it throughout your body. Breathe again. Feel your feet and legs begin to awaken to the room. Notice the seat on which you sit. Feel the blood flowing in your arms and your hands, holding on to the joy. Never let it go. Feel your face and your scalp come back to life as you become aware of the sanctuary we all share.
One more deep breath. And release. And come back to us. So now, let us say together the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and leave us our temptation, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.